empowerment, words like acknowledgement, affirmation, being given leadership or being given responsibility or authority. Want to know what empowerment actually started to look like? True empowerment that started to stick? It was about knowing my authority. It was about stepping out into leadership. It was sometimes being a little bit more irresponsible than responsible. It was loving my unique skills and abilities and acknowledging the power of my voice. We crave empowerment, don't we? It can look so simple sometimes. We love it when we get 15 likes on our witty Facebook status. We secretly crave that our tweets get retweeted. We love shout outs in meetings when our ideas get chosen. Those are like simple things that we just like crave, those little pieces of empowerment. But those empowering things aren't necessarily dependent on, they're dependent on other people. So do they really stick? They stick for a moment. Personally, on a deeper level, I was waiting for people to give me that type of empowerment. And on larger scales, I was waiting for people to give me leadership or give me affirmation, give me acknowledgement of my skills and abilities. But the problem was, I was never truly empowered myself. So nothing stuck. All the empowerment I was receiving was just being deflected to manage my insecurities, protect myself from being vulnerable. Those empowering statements would make me shrink back in my own skin. They would lead me to produce cop-out answers like being too young, too busy, not experienced enough. No, I can't do that. Me? No way. No way. I came to a point in my life, though, where there was such a deep dissatisfaction with where I was going, who I was, what I cared about, because it felt like it was all dependent on empowerment. And from what I knew, empowerment came from other people, and that wasn't working out too well. So I discovered what true empowerment was. True empowerment needed to start from within. It was funny because the places that I craved acknowledgement and empowerment were exactly the places that God pointed out to me and said, yeah, start right there. So this is a new definition of empowerment. Empowerment is finding your voice. Not everything you say will be brilliant, right, or come out smooth. Trust me, I still have blonde moments. But you begin to believe that what you say has value. Your words hold weight. You have the power to change the world around you by a word. Your word, my word, your voice, my voice. That's empowering. Empowerment is the choice. It's owning your life, giving yourself permission to say no to things that aren't good for you, people that aren't good for you, places and jobs that aren't good for you. Empowerment is giving yourself permission to choose life, to choose hope, and to choose joy. No more a victim, it's owning your life. That's empowerment. Empowerment is knowing you're enough, that He's enough, that God's enough. No more does your value come from those around you. Your value is settled on the cross. I was worth the death of Christ. You were worth the death of Christ. Like Jen and Martin said a couple weeks ago, you are a daughter or a son of the King. I am a daughter of the King. So I'm going to cash in my inheritance. God recently revealed to me something so simple but so empowering. He said, I am enough. Both He, the great I am, is enough, and I am enough. That is so empowering. So that's true empowerment. The true empowerment is tricky, though, because if we get that part right, acknowledgement, confirmation, and leadership given to us from others, true empowerment happens there, too. Somebody recently emailed me when I was facing kind of intimidating situation, and she wrote, you are a courageous woman, a loyal person, and a daughter who walks in power and authority of the Son. It's pretty cool to get to a point where a statement like that doesn't make me shrink back and make an excuse, but I can begin to say thanks. I think I know.
We're going to bring Jen back up in a little bit to continue to walk out that empowerment piece that God has been placing on her life. If you haven't figured out already, we're talking about empowerment this morning. In every aspect of the service, I think you see that modeled. Those kids, oh, come on now. We're continuing with this series, the Surviving the Dog Days of Your Soul. And Martin was supposed to preach this one this morning. Ironically enough, it got passed on to me. So, as we're talking about empowerment this morning, we're going to be in 2 Timothy. We'll get there in a second. It's page 1155 in the pew in front of you if you want to read along when we get there. But first I want to kind of jump back to at the beginning of what Jen was talking about. Just for a second, just sit and try to remember a phrase, if not a phrase, then a sense that someone has given you or you felt like someone gave you that little something extra. Take a moment. Maybe you played some sports, and right before the game, the coach came to you and said, "You got this one." Maybe it was a teacher in school who came to you and said, "Well, you know, I'm just so impressed with what God's doing in your life." Maybe it's a coworker who came up to you and said, "Man, I'm just so impressed." Or maybe it's a boss who came alongside you and said, "This could be you someday." I'll never forget the first time I had one of those kind of experiences. I was a freshman, finished out my freshman year of high school, and I started working on the camp over the summer, and I was in the dish room. And if you've ever worked in a dish room before, it feels like the bottom of the totem pole. you know, you're up to your arms in these grimy, nasty rubber gloves, hopefully. You've got rubber gloves. And you're scrubbing these pots or these plates, and I just remember in this being in this room, and it's 9,000 degrees, and you've lost 10 pounds of water weight, and I was scrubbing this really huge pot, one that I almost had to climb into. And the guy who ran activities for the summer, the one who was in charge of the fun stuff, right? The one who got to run around, and all the guys wanted to be him, and all the girls wanted to date him. That guy came in. I'm in the middle of, like, just scrubbing this pot, and he drops his plate off, and then he walked around, and he came in the dish room, and he walked up, and he put his arm over my shoulder, and he whispered in my ear, "You could be doing what I'm doing. Do you see what God sees in you?" No, I'm in the middle of a pot, and there's like grimy mac and cheese at the bottom of it. What in the world are you talking about? This could be you. Walk in empowerment. And 5 years later, I was out of the dish room, and I was the activities coordinator, and I'm running around. And he just kind of looked at me and said, "See, I told you." This morning, those are just words. They're still just words in my head, but they have to settle into my soul. And you need to understand that the God of the universe looks at you and sees greatness. He looks at you and sees what you cannot. And he wants to impart into you an empowerment piece that will drastically change your world if you allow him. So let's look at some descriptions of empowerment. To energize. I can't see that word without thinking of the Energizer Bunny. He's not around as much as he used to be. But several years ago, every commercial, there's this little pink bunny. He just keeps going. And then they got in this rhythm of like just not even saying anything. They would show this, you know, this commercial, and at the very end, you just see this bunny go across the stage. It just keeps going, it keeps going, it keeps going. The God of the universe wants to pour into you, overflowing, so that you keep going and going and going and going. Let's go back there. To feel strengthened, encouraged, courageous, to be believed in, specifically, to be believed in. Let that one sit for a second. We've all had times in our lives where we didn't necessarily believe in ourselves. But the God of the universe believes in you. To feel as though you can go to the next level. Several times in my life, I've gotten to a certain point and thought, man, how do I get from here to there? And then God does something in my life and brings me to this level, next level, and I look and go, you know, how did I get there? And then how can I get to the next one, and the next one, and the next one? As we dig deeper and deeper and deeper into what the God of the universe has for us. So let's look at some definitions. Merriam-Webster says it this way: to give power to someone or give official authority or legal power to someone. I kind of like Oxford better. Give the authority or power to do something, or this last one, make someone stronger and more confident, especially in controlling their life and claiming their rights. For some of us, it's time to claim our rights in Christ Jesus. That you are a son and daughter of the King. That you were bought with a price. That you were sealed with the power of the Holy Spirit. For some of us this morning is the day where you claim those rights. The rights that God has given us. Pop culture talks about empowerment. And we'll get to that in a second. There we go. A couple years ago, there was this movie called The Water Boy. And this guy, periodically throughout the movie, "You can do it! You can do it!" Some of you are laughing. But when the God of the universe looks down at you, he's saying, "Come on, you got this. You can do this. Do you understand what I've given you?" Josh Groban, "You raised me." I'm not going to sing it. "You raised me up." And we hear that song, we think of humans. We really need to be singing that one to the Lord. "You raised me up. I will survive." Some of you are like, "What is that? I have no idea about that one." It's all right. And just recently, this one, and maybe this is more of a negative than a positive, these Geico commercials crack me up. And the latest one is Pinocchio as a motivational speaker. I don't know if you've seen this one. Some of you have, like, DVRs, and so you don't watch commercials anymore. But Pinocchio... So it's almost as bad as Pinocchio as a motivational speaker, and he's standing up there and he looks down at somebody in the front row and he goes, "You can do, you got this." And he's like, "Oh no." And the guy in the front row is like, at first he's like all excited, "Yeah, oh." "I believe in you." Isn't it so awesome that the God of the universe sees you differently than that? I think some of us, you know, we hear those words. Somebody comes at Jen, put it. Somebody comes to you and says those words to you. "Got this. God wants to empower you. I see great things in you." And we just kind of shrink in. We go the opposite of what the God of the universe is trying to say to us. And I don't care where you are on your journey with the Lord. The Lord looks down at you and he has clothed you with his righteousness when you come to Christ, and he sees you in all his goodness. So let's look at the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 1, page 1155 in your pew Bible. This is one of my favorite books. I say that all the time. This is one of my favorite books. There's something about this one. In seminary, I memorized this whole book. And the older I get, I realize the less I remember and need to go back. So I was really glad we were on this one this morning. Starting in verse 5, it says, "I'm reminded of your sincere faith with which first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you, through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity or fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline." I just want to stop for a second there. This passage kind of breaks up into three segments, and we're going to finish with 2:2. At this first part, he's reminding Timothy, "Hey, listen, remember all those years ago when you were just a young guy?" And he's not very old at this point. "I saw faith in you. I saw the history in your life. We got together and we prayed over you. And we empowered you with the Holy Spirit." Fan that into flame. Don't let that thing die out. In the Greek, it's like ignite, or turn it up, or energize it. Fan that thing into flame. Don't let it falter. I know there's an element of fear that's coming in your life right now. But don't be afraid. But reminded of this, of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Let that stuff sink in. For some of you this morning, you need to fan that into flame. You need to fan into flame the truth that the God of the universe loves you and sees you where you are, and he wants to energize you. And then he goes into the reminding piece. The reason why. "So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in the suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace." He's reminding Timothy of the truths of the Word of God. Hey, let me just read. I know you know this. I know I'm giving you some Sunday school answers. Let this sink in. Let this sink into your soul. "Not because of anything you have done, but because of God's grace and mercy upon you. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. But it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." Let me say that part again. "But it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of that gospel, I am appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yes, this is now no cause for shame, because I know who I have believed in, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what he has entrusted in him until that day." It's not going anywhere. The truths that I've revealed to you, they're not going anywhere. They don't fade away like other things. That inheritance isn't going anywhere. It's not going to be ripped up or burned up. It's for eternity. "What you've heard from me, keep as a pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard that good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. You're not on your own. The Holy Spirit is with you every single step of the way." And he gives us this reminder that we've all kind of felt at some point in our lives. You know that everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me, including Phygellus and Hermogenes. Ever had that moment when it just feels like everybody just kind of backed away and is no longer with you? He's reminding Timothy, hey, listen, I've been there. I felt it. You've seen it. And then instead of doing what we all want to do, let's get back at them, Paul says, may the Lord show mercy on the household of Onesiphorus, because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of the chains. On the contrary, when he was in Rome, he searched hard until he found me. May the Lord grant that he will find mercy from the Lord on that day. You know very well how many ways he helped me in Ephesus. I wasn't alone. I thought I was alone. And the Lord saw me. Maybe you walked in this morning and it just felt like, it seemed like, or you'd done the list in your head that nobody is with me. It's time to put that feeling aside. It's time to put that thought aside. It's time to throw that list down and understand that the God of the universe is on your side. But we can't sit there. We can't stop there. It doesn't end with us. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men or women who will also be qualified to teach others. It doesn't end with you. It doesn't stop with you. We pass it on. So this is the message. Hey, Timothy, remember your natural and spiritual resources. Remember those. Write them down. Remind them. Remind yourself of them if you have to. Energize those abilities or fan them into flame. Maybe you need that note on the mirror. This is, you got this. Pick that scripture verse that tells you how important you are to the King of the universe. You're bought with a price. You're chosen before the foundation of the world. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit. You're loved by a God who can't measure how deep, how wide, how long, how high his love is for you. He throws your sin as far as the east is from the west, away from him. And he sees you and declares you righteous. And then you pass it on. You reproduce this thing. So figure out what that hope is that you need. What's that hope piece that you need to hang on to? And what are those areas of fear that you need to throw aside? And then ignite. Will the Spirit of God ignite you? And lastly, it's not about you. It's not just about you. It's time to pass that on, to reproduce it. So getting started. Receive the words from God. We've talked about this several times. There's normally three voices going on in our head. Ours, the enemy's, and the Lord's. And the Lord's sound like things that are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy. Those are the things of God. So let those things land. Receive the words from those near to you, the good ones. The good ones. Adjust your view of self and reality, live this thing out, and pass it on. So in conclusion, we're going to have the worship team come back up, and Jen's going to come back up. We're kind of all in one of these categories. Maybe you've never heard, ever. Maybe you've never heard, ever, that you're valued. The God of the universe is telling you, you have worth and you have value and you have meaning. And I want you. Maybe you've heard it and it's kind of like, it's kind of fallen off and it needs to be fanned in the flame. Maybe you heard it and you know it and you're walking in it. You just haven't passed it on to anybody. Jen's going to walk us through a prayer time. And I just kind of want you to sit and listen. And you know at what point you are at in this process, at what point you need to step up, at what point you need to listen. And so just allow what she is saying to kind of sit and resonate with you. Then the team's going to sing, and then we're going to come back up and do one last empowerment piece with you this morning.
Kneel. Open up your journal. Do whatever you need to do to listen and open up. By the power of God, He has saved us and called us to a holy life. Not because of anything we have done, but because of His own purpose and His grace. Let His grace just sit on you for a second. Through this authority, purpose, and grace, I bless you to start fanning into flames those gifts that God has given you. The gifts that people have laid hands on you and have prayed into you. The gifts that the Lord has placed deep in your heart and your soul that are uniquely you. Those unguarded dreams about your future. Just start fanning those flames. Holy Spirit, I ask you begin to make these gifts, talents, unique attributes, personalities, and callings so clear. I bring to mind those ones that we've buried. Bring to mind those ones that are deep, deep in our soul. In the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, I break any chains, walls, or blocks that have set themselves up to bind your gifts from being fully released. I break any curses that have been spoken over you. Curses that said you aren't good enough, old enough, young enough, experienced enough, talented enough, worthy enough, wealthy enough, courageous enough. I break those all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For all those that have deserted you, I'm so sorry. The Holy Spirit is here now with you to break down those walls and to walk with you. I bless you that you are enough. The Lord says, I am, and you are enough. You are strong in God's grace. Now, Holy Spirit, reveal to us what adjustments need to be made of our view of ourselves and our reality. Bring specifics to mind. Holy Spirit, bring to mind those excuses. Those excuses we've made to manage our insecurities and have kept us from stepping out. What areas of timidity still exist? Bring to mind people, places, jobs, bad habits, excuses. Now, Holy Spirit, help us to own our life and choose life. Holy Spirit, give us a phrase, a word, an image, a new definition of empowerment, specific to us, unique to me, unique to you. Empowerment that is specific to who you created us to be.